Shalom, and blessed be the name of the Lord. We have continued to follow Paul's thoughts, and Paul is speaking about people going back and giving themselves to the ministry of Jesus Christ. From chapter 12, Paul began by speaking a very emotional message. He began by saying, "I beseech you, by the mercies of God, give yourself, give your body as a living sacrifice to God. I appeal to you to offer yourself as a sacrifice to God. I am speaking to you, my children, now that you know the truth, now that you know the mercies of God, now that you understand what God has done for you," and this is the context in which he is speaking. "Now that you know that, both Jews and Gentiles, both the firstborn son and the secondborn son, I urge you," he is not forcing them. He is not controlling them. He is not speaking by force. He is looking for reasons for them to give themselves to the services to God, to give themselves to the church of Jesus Christ, to give themselves even to them that are hurting, allowed the, you know, themselves or allowed their neighborhood, to give themselves to serve their government, and also to serve fellow believers, as we saw in chapter 14 of the book of Romans. Now, Paul goes to a notch higher and give in his appeal, he now bring Jesus as an example, as we saw in the book of Romans chapter 15. He gave Jesus as an example, and he said Jesus did not live to please himself. He came so that he may die for us. So he gave Jesus as an example. And he said how Jesus left heaven so that everybody might hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing I've also noted now in chapter 15, which began yesterday, is that now Paul gave them his own example. He did not only give Jesus as an example of service by the mercies of God. He bring himself as a model. He says, "Follow me as I follow Jesus." Look at chapter 15 and verses 1. Paul says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." You see, Paul here, he's not talking to them that you are supposed not to accuse, you're not supposed to, you know, to judge or to criticize each other. Do not put obstacles. Now, Paul brings himself into the picture, and he says, "We who are strong." You see, he is part of the "we." We who are strong. He considers himself to be one of those strong in faith. And now he is there, and he won't talk about himself. From chapter 15 and 16, he wants to give himself as a very good example that they can be able to follow. And so Paul, he is saying, "I'm part of that." And so he brings out very clean message as an example to them, an example that he can follow. So chapter 15 from verses 14 all the way to 33, Paul speaks why he intends to come to Rome. And Paul says, "I've already become a servant to the Gentiles. I'm a minister to the nations of the world." He's reminding them of how the Lord called them. He called him, and how he converted on the road to Emmaus, and how he became a messenger of God. And I want to give an example here. Now, chapter from verses 14, you can also see that Paul is now talking about himself. He says, I'm a minister to the Gentiles. Look, he says, I myself am convinced. He's now giving his own example. My brothers and sisters, that you yourself are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct others. So he talks about them and he says, I know you. You are mature. I'm writing to you. You're mature. But however, Paul had not met this church. This church was not planted by Paul, but this church of Rome was planted by the friends of Paul, by the sons of Paul, which he'll be mentioning in chapter 16 of the book of Romans. But then he says, because he had with them, he was with them, he says, I know you are full of goodness. You are full of knowledge. You are competent teachers. You can instruct one another. Yet I have written to you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentile. He gave me the priesthood duties of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to divide this section where Paul is appealing, is urging the church in Rome to offer themselves, just as Paul had offered himself. He gave them three reasons that pertains to himself. Number one, Paul will be giving his own life in the past. He's giving his yesterday, how God called him to minister to the Gentiles. And he wants to give them a history of himself, how he became a servant. Remember, this portion from chapter 12 is about service, is about servanthood, is about ministry, is about giving ourselves to the ministry of God, to the ministry of others, because of the mercies of God. And Paul here is actually giving them three. He talks from three angles. That is his past, how he was called. And I will give a few things. Number two, he is also giving the second lesson of him being a minister to the Gentiles. And he's saying, from here, I want to extend the ministry beyond boundaries. I want to go to Spain. I'm a minister. And I want you to join me so that we can go minister beyond yourself. I'm still continuing. I've been ministering, but I want to continue ministering beyond. And therefore, I'm writing to you so that you can be partners with me, so that you can partner to preach beyond. And so Paul gives his plan to visit Rome. You see, now that's what he's saying. And why he's visiting Rome is because he wants to get them to be partners with him. But number three, Paul gave his present ministries. When he was writing this letter to the Romans, there was his present ministry, which he was now preparing to go to Jerusalem, still to minister to others. Now, if you look at number one, Paul minister as how Paul ministered to the Gentiles, he talked about how he, how God gave him the ministry to the Gentiles and how the Lord called him and gave him priestly duties to proclaim the gospel of God to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles might become an acceptable offering to God, that they may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says that, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit. And from Jerusalem all the way to aloud Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. He has always been my ambition. It has been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've been hindered from coming to you. So Paul is saying, my past ministry to the Gentile, from all the way to Jerusalem, to a loud priest called Illyricum, he has been proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. He has been preaching the word of God in power and wonders, and so that those who have not heard of him will be able to hear of God. But then he says that my ambition, my philosophy, is not to build on any other. Because of the mercies of God, I want to go to areas where no other people have ministered to the Gentiles. So that is the first part. When we talk about that he is a minister to the Gentiles, he gives his past. Look at his present. Look at his future. Look at his future. Verse 23, he says, but now there's no more place for me to work in these regions. Have finished the ministry in the past. And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. Now, he talked about his future ministry in Spain. And I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. So he's saying now, my future ministry is that I'm going to Spain and I want to pass through you. I want you to assist me, so that we can take the gospel beyond boundaries. I want to enjoy your fellowship for a while, but I want to go to Spain. I want you to give to this. And I want to enlist you. Be part of that. So he gave his future ministry. Look at now his present ministry when he was writing this letter. Look at verse 25. He says, now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Now, this is a now ministry in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were priests to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were priests to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jewish spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task, and I have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and I visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in full measure of the blessings of God. Verses 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Jerusalem, in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. So Paul here talks about his present ministry. And the present ministry is that, as I write to you now, is that I'm planning to take the blessing, the contribution for the poor among the Lord's people. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Why am I going there? I have been able to collect money from Macedonia and Achaia. They've contributed to the people. They have these Gentiles. So look, he's appealing to them and he says, these Gentiles from Macedonia and Achaia have already contributed and they have given to the Lord's people in Jerusalem. Now, because they owe them, the Jewish people were able to share their spiritual blessings to the Gentiles. Why would you Gentiles not share your material blessing to them? And so Paul says, I am taking this contribution there, but I require two things from you. One, please pray not for me, Pray with me. He said, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. So you pray for me by joining me. I'm already in prayer. I'm struggling. Pray with me. One of the ways to enjoin people to be part of the ministry is to tell them I'm already praying. Don't just pray for me. Pray with me. Join in my struggle for the people there. But number two, pray that I'll be kept safe from the unbelievers. This is the second prayer. That I'm going to Judea, pray that I may be kept safe so that I'll finally come back to you. And number three, pray that these brothers will be able to receive the blessing that have been given to them, by the Lord's people. So that after I've completed that mission, I'll come to you and be with you for a short time. Now, this tells us that Paul was a minister to the Gentiles, and he is inviting other Gentiles to take the gospel to other Gentiles. This is Gentile, take the gospel to the Gentile world, or the Gentile, take the gospel to Jerusalem. Taking the example of the two brothers, the second brother should be able to serve the first brother and serve other Gentile brothers. And he is called to do that because Paul also, being the firstborn son or among the firstborn son, he is serving both the firstborn son and the secondborn son. Lord Jesus, help us to minister by the grace of God and help us to know what you have called us to do and what you are planning to do with us and what we are doing right now. And help us to articulate it and pass it on to the people that we enriched to work with us in Jesus' name.